The following is a RackRadioShow.com exclusive.
Welcome to the Rack Extra Reviews right here on WildTalkRadio.com. He's Rock, I'm Lindsay, and we're back with episode 8 of Timeless. And oh my god, this episode was everything.
This was an episode where stuff indeed happened that could change the course of history.
I need answers. I need answers to everything. Mainly the last 5 minutes of the show. I am so upset I have to wait a week for the answers, and I may not even get them. Highly upset by this. I demand more immediately. And I'm already going to go ahead and start it. Hashtag renew timeless. Save timeless. I need a season 3, damn it. I need a season 3. So help me God. Somebody, Netflix, anybody, if NBC, you decide to sadly not renew timeless, which we would all hope that you don't make that decision. Netflix. Y'all, can you hook us up? Because I need a season 3. I
think you better be off with Hulu for this.
Hulu? I can talk to Hulu.
Because Hulu saved the Mindy Project. So, you know, they could save this too. If that... so happens.
Netflix, Hulu, NBC, somebody, anybody, please make a season 3 happen. Please. Pretty please with a cherry and sugar and
cookies.
Cookies on top.
She will give you all the cookies.
I will bake you cookies if you renew season 3. I am dead serious. So anyway, we are going to jump into this show, and it opens up in March of 1981, where we see John Hinckley writing to Jodie Foster and professing his love to her and basically plotting to shoot President Reagan, which was a thing. It did happen. And we see Hinckley, you know, going for the shot. Basically, they've kind of started the season, or they've had some of the shows on the season show what the actual events were, what actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see how they change when everything goes on in the show. So we see Hinckley plotting to kill Reagan. He writes a full confession to Jodie Foster and leaves it knowing that he's probably not going to come back. So he leaves that there to be discovered in the pile of evidence, and then he goes off to try and kill the president. So we flash forward to the present day, where G and Rufus are just having all kinds of awkwardness because Rufus is still dealing with the fact that he's going to die, and he's pushing G away. G is not cool with that, and she's like, look, you know, my dad did this, and Rufus gets super pissed off at her and yells at her, and he's like, I'm not your father, and walks away.
Yeah, that was awkwardness.
And they're just having a really, really difficult time right now because, like, G is trying to help, and Rufus is trying to be accepting of the help, but at the same time, it's like, they just really kind of can't deal with this. And then we cut to the wonderful, wonderful Christopher family. Oh my god, this melted my heart. How beautiful this scene was. We see Agent Christopher with her adorable wife, her amazing children in this beautiful house. I'm in love. I need more of the Christopher family. Please, can I have more of, like, domesticated life with Agent Christopher? It's beautiful. I love this.
It's good.
We see her avoiding a phone call from her mother, and we find out that basically Mama Christopher does not know that, one, her daughter is a lesbian, and two, that she has an entire family complete with a wife and children.
Well, you know.
It's all a secret from her. So Agent Christopher basically leaves to go to the bunker, and she tells the kids, you know, hey, go pick up your sister from practice. You guys can have pizza. Save me a slice. All this wonderful, happy stuff. She kisses her wife goodbye, and then she goes to the bunker.
Mm-hmm.
And while Christopher is on the way to the bunker, Rittenhouse jumps in the lifeboat, in the main time machine.
Mothership,
thank you. To 1981 in D.C., where, hey, look, John Hinckley's preparing to shoot the president. And automatically they're like, oh, crap, Rittenhouse is going to kill Reagan. Okay, all right.
Let's do this. Everyone get their stuff. Let's go. We know how to do this. All systems go.
Except it's not, because Flynn, there's still awkwardness between Wyatt, Flynn, and Lucy, just based on everything that happened last mission.
Bang.
Last.
Bang. Bangity bang.
It was not a bang, bang, bangity bang. But based on last episode, it's still awkward, and Wyatt goes, yeah, so I was like 4 when this happened, so I can't go.
Stay back on this one, okay?
Yeah. Because, again, if you're not familiar with the show, you cannot cross your own timeline. So if you go back in time when you are alive, bad things can happen. So Garcia can't go because he's alive at this point. Connor can't go because Connor's alive. So Gia volunteers to go. And they're like, well, you kind of shouldn't go with your visions and everything. And she's like, yeah, no, it's fine. It'll be fine.
It'll be fine. Everything's just fine.
Everything's going to be great. So Gia, Rufus, Wyatt, and Lucy all hop in the lifeboat. Off to 1981 we go. And of course, the first thing they do, steal some clothes, get a car. They're all looking fabulous in their 80s duds. And we get to the Hilton Hotel.
Before you go, it was Gia who said, yeah, I'm good with, you know, getting the security things off of clothes.
Yeah, she's like, I've never met a security tag I can't disable.
Yeah.
And then they're like, what else did you steal?
Well, I stole this, and I got this, and I got this, and I got this.
A classic pair of Ray-Bans, leg warmers, and this, like, incredible blue eyeshadow is what she says. Which I'm like, okay, all right, Gia, there you go.
Respect.
Hey, this may be her only chance to do this. If you're gonna do it, do it. What's the worst that can happen, right?
True.
So, we arrive at the Hilton Hotel where Reagan is staying. Everybody's getting set up for him to leave. We see Hinckley getting ready to shoot him, and they're looking around for the sleeper because, you know, it's like, okay, well, they're going to take out Reagan. And, well, we see the mysterious red dot of the sleeper, but it's not pointed at Reagan. Oh, no. No. It's pointed at a cop.
What?
Wyatt sees it and dives for the cop. Now, we're gonna go back to the present day for a second.
Rewind.
Because Agent Christopher arrives at the bunker. They've already jumped. She's like, hey, where'd they go? And they're like, oh, yeah, they went to the day that Reagan was shot to stop Rittenhouse from killing Reagan. And you just see Agent Christopher pause, and she's like, that ain't it. That's not the reason why they're there. And you just see it. You automatically see her processing, can you get a text message to 1981?
Can we FaceTime? Can we Skype? Can we do something?
How do I call 1981? How do I do that? So, going back to the past, Wyatt dies for the cop, saves the cop in time, find out cop is a lovely lady, and she gets grazed by the bullet on the arm, and, well, turns out the lady is, one, Karen David of Gallivant fame.
Hey!
And Once Upon a Time.
Hey!
The fabulous Karen David. Oh my god, so happy to see her on this show.
She is amazing.
Love her. And two, she's a young Agent Christopher.
Wait, what?
Before she was, you know, Agent Christopher. She was just Officer Christopher.
What?
Right?
What?
And Wyatt realizes it first, and Wyatt's like, oh crap.
Okay.
And then they tell the rest of the team, and the rest of the team is like, oh crap. Meanwhile, in the present, basically, Christopher fills Connor and Garcia in on what's going on, and Garcia's like, well, what does it matter? You know, aside from the fact that she's going to get wiped from existence if she gets killed.
You know, that little thing, just, oh, she's going to be wiped away. You know, no big deal.
No biggie. And that's when Connor has to tell Garcia, essentially, Christopher's the reason the team got formed. If something happens to her, none of this happens. And Rittenhouse gets hold of the lifeboat, and they get control of it, and no one's able to stop them. None of this happens. Because the team doesn't get formed. So it's kind of a big, oh crap.
So this is how it all comes together.
Right?
One piece gets changed. We're all kind of, you know, screwed.
Which, I'm kind of surprised it took them this long to realize, well, hey, if we just go wipe out Agent Christopher, none of this crap happens. Little surprised it took them that long to get there with it, but it's like, okay, all right, not going to complain. So we head to the, back to the past, we head to the hospital where Reagan is being patched up, and Agent Christopher is being patched up, and, well, Lucy and Gia, and then Rufus and Wyatt, they're all there, they're looking around, they're looking for the sleeper, because they're like, well, the sleeper's a Secret Service agent, so he's gonna be here somewhere, and Rufus and Wyatt spot him, they go after the sleeper, and then Lucy and Gia go to be with Agent Christopher. And this is where it gets a little awkward, because as Lucy and Gia are talking to Christopher, and they're, you know, trying to figure out what's going on and all that stuff, Agent Christopher's family shows up. Her mother, her aunts, her uncles, her sister, you know, her whole family, and her fiancé.
And we need to back up 1 second. We'll talk awkwardness. It was when the teams were splitting up. That, between Gina and Rufus, that was some awkwardness.
Yeah, that was some serious awkwardness.
Anyway.
She's like, but, okay.
Okay, but yeah, continue on.
So yeah, so Agent Christopher has I shouldn't say fiancé, because it's intended fiancé, who's a man. Remember, this is 81. There were no happy lesbians. Well, I'm sure there were, but there were no necessarily.
Cagney and Lacey were.
Cagney and Lacey! We'll get there.
We're getting there. So, anyway, continue.
Things were not as open back then as they are now. Let's put it like that. So Lucy and Gia get really confused because it's like, well, wait, you know, I don't ever remember her, you know, being engaged to a man. And basically she agrees to marry this guy because her mother's all concerned that she got shot and everything. And Lucy's like, no, this can't happen. This can't be. She can't marry this dude. And Gia's like, well, why? And she's like, well, because of her family, you know, her wife and her kids. She's going to lose her wife and her kids if she marries this guy. Like, that never happens. And basically, if you've been watching since season one, you know that Lucy was given a USB stick with pictures of Agent Christopher's family on it in case anything ever happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
So Lucy could show her she did have a family.
Right.
So she's like, we got to fix this. And they go back in after, you know, Agent Christopher's agreed to marry this dude. And they're like, no, you can't do this. You can't do this. And she's like, yeah, no. And again, it goes back to, well, she marries this dude. She doesn't go into the FBI. She doesn't join Homeland Security. Team doesn't get formed. So again, still a problem. So they go back to her and they're like, hey, yeah, you know, maybe marrying him isn't a good idea. And she's like, yeah, so here's the thing about that. He's a nice guy. Love isn't necessarily a factor because, you know, in our culture, especially for like a quasi arranged marriage, it's not a thing. You just sort of do the thing and love comes hopefully afterwards.
You hope there's love at some point.
And I forget if this is where she explained about her father or if that was later.
Just explain it now.
Okay. So essentially what happened is that one of her reasons for doing this is that she promised her mother that she would never die in the way that her father had, which the story is that her father had bought a Cadillac and he was super proud of it. It was his American dream. And they were at a gas station. He was filling it up. And this guy walked up and tried to rob them and shot her father dead in front of her. And so the police came and obviously dealt with it. And she said that's, you know, that incident is what inspired her to be a cop, because that was the first time she had ever seen a female police officer. And when she asked the lady why she wanted to be a cop, the lady responded, so I can, you know, take out the bad guys, or something to that effect. And that's what inspired Agent Christopher to become a police officer. And then she actually takes that police officer's name because her last name was Christopher, mm-hmm. as opposed to using her Indian name.
Right.
Which we find out was supposed to be just for work, but she's using it for everything. So that explains that.
That does.
And, you know, basically it's, you know, dude he's a nice guy. He's from a good family. He's finishing up his residency, so he's going to be a doctor. She'll be well looked after. She's not going to have to worry about anything. And Gia and Lucy, aka Cagney and Lacey, because that's what they call themselves, are like, yeah, but you love this. And she's like, yeah, not that much. Not as much, you know, not to put it above my family. And so she's like, we're having a party tonight to celebrate the engagement. That's going to be it. And Christopher leaves with her family. And Lucy and Gia are like, crap. What do we do?
And Lucy's like, I got a plan.
Yeah. She's like, I have an idea, but we have to go back to the lifeboat to get it. We cut to the boys in the basement. Or we cut to the boys, I should say. They find the sleeper, they get in an elevator with the sleeper, and there's this old lady in the elevator, they're all riding together, and it comes to her floor, and she's like, is the president gonna be okay? And they're like, yes, ma'am, we think he's gonna be fine. And she's like, oh, good, you know, and as she's getting off, she's like, I voted for Carter.
And the Wyatt's face was like, oh, if I really need it, really? Okay.
Yeah, and then a fight breaks out in the elevator where Wyatt and Rufus and the sleeper all fight. They're able to subdue the dude. They drag him to the basement where they tie him to a pole and they start demanding information. Basically, when was he activated? What are Rittenhouse's plans? You know, the whole nine yards in terms of the typical questions. And of course, the guy's like, I only know my mission. I just got activated today and it was my brother that did it. And he's like, oh yeah, by the way, my brother is going to Agent Christopher's house right now to kill her. Just FYI.
Yeah, he eventually revealed that, yeah. As he was pleading for his life, he told a story about his family and his kids, and et cetera, et cetera. But at the end, he's just pleading. He's like, brother's going to do it. Wyatt also asked about, you know, why'd they bring back Jessica?
And he doesn't know.
Doesn't know.
Supposedly.
Supposedly doesn't. Like, he wasn't giving much information, but he was giving enough information. And there was a back and forth between Rufus and Wyatt where they're like, should we bring him back? Should we make two trips? Should we bring him back? Because it's the first time we've ever caught a sleeper.
And Wyatt's like, no, we're going to kill him. And Rufus is like, dude, no, that's not what we do. And Wyatt doesn't really care. So we start to see Wyatt going over to, I get not really the dark side, but the dark side a little bit. Or maybe his intentions aren't as honorable as we originally thought.
That's quite possible.
So we cut back to the girls, or actually before we cut back to the girls, we're going to cut back to the present because this is how I have it in notes. So we cut back to the present and Agent Christopher is doing paperwork. She's sitting at a desk. She's doing paperwork. And Garcia walks up to her and he's like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm doing paperwork. And he's like, you could be wiped from existence at any point and you're doing paperwork. And she kind of looks at him and she's like, well, how does one prepare for that? You know, how do I get my affairs in order that aren't going to be even in order once I disappear from time or once I disappear from existence, if that happens?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you even prepare for that? What do you even do for that? And Garcia basically tells her the story about his daughter and how that last night that he saw her alive, she kept asking, you know, she didn't want to go to bed. She kept asking for more time to be awake. And of course, being a good parent, he put her to bed. And then the next time he saw her, she was dead. And he says that's one of his biggest regrets is that he did not spend more time with her.
He wishes he had that additional 3 minutes with his daughter.
And he's like, for the love of God, put down the pen, put down the paperwork, and go home and be with your family. Be with them while you still have them. And of course, that lights a fire under her to go be with her family. Which, it's actually really funny because, you know, he's like, again, you're going to get away from existence and you're doing paperwork. And she's like, I trust the team. I fully trust the team. But you can kind of hear it in her voice that she kind of doesn't trust the team.
It's like, that's why Wyatt's there. Why will handle it. He'll do it.
He's got it. We're good.
I trust them. Kinda, maybe.
She sounds like she trusts them, but she sounds like she doesn't trust them because it's like, oh crap, if they fail, this is gonna suck.
Because it's her life that's hanging in the balance at this point.
Mm-hmm. And there's nothing she can do. She just has to sit and wait and hope and pray that they succeed. And that's gotta be the most horrific thing ever to know is that somewhere in the past, this is all going down. And the one thing that I had kind of wish they had explored is her remembering the encounters with them. Because you kind of see it when they're talking in the beginning of the episode, where you see her thinking about it, and starts to remember them. So you actually see a live change in memory on the show, where something in the past affects someone in the present. But they didn't delve as in depth into that as I would have liked.
Because it would be really hard to do.
It would be really hard to do, but it would have been cool if they could have figured it out.
If they were able to, yeah, but I think it would have been a little too much.
Yeah. So we cut back to the past, and the girls are on their way to the party. They get there, they've got what they need, and they're like, they see Agent Christopher, and Lucy's like, not hitting on you, but you look gorgeous, which echoes back to when they were at the hotel asking about John Hinckley, where basically, and I forgot to, we completely forgot about this part. How could we forget about this part? Where Lucy and Gia are talking to Agent Christopher. They're exploring Hinckley's room and everything like that. And they basically call her out on being a lesbian without calling her out on being one. And then she's like, yeah, you know, she looks at Lucy and she's like, yeah, you're gorgeous, but I'm not into it. And Lucy's like, oh, yeah, this is awkward. So wasn't hitting on you, but yeah, Cagney here and I are together. And you just see this really awkward embrace between Gia and Lucy. And Gia's like, what the hell are you doing?
Right. And her response was, I experimented a little bit in college, but that's about it.
Yeah. Like, she's totally trying to act straight. And Lucy's like, come on, dude. I know. I know. It's okay. So, anyway, they get to the house, and they pull Agent Christopher aside, and they, again, call her out on being a lesbian. And they're like, you don't understand. You can't marry this dude, because it's going to cost you your family. And she's like, what are you talking about? And they whip out the thumb drive, and they whip out a laptop, and they're like, and they basically tell her, we're time travelers. We're from the future.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Christopher doesn't believe them, and that's when they whip out the tech, and they're like, have you ever seen anything like this? And she's like, well, no, of course not. And so they fire up the laptop, they fire up the USB stick, and they're like, here's your family. And they turn around the laptop, and there she is with her wife and her kids, and she's just kind of standing there. And credit to Kara David for how she did this, because this was fantastic, where she's almost in disbelief. And she's just standing there like, two women can be together, they can be married.
Right.
And Lucy's like, yep. In California. She's like, in 2016? Yep.
Yeah, California. A little bit earlier in California, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit earlier in California, and she's like, that's where you guys live, is in California. And she's almost in disbelief, but Lucy's like, you can't do this, you can't marry this dude, because you're gonna lose this if you do this. She's like, you have to tell your mother.
Mm-hmm. And then we have a montage of pictures.
Yeah, where this realization of, you know, it's like, you have to do this. Because originally, Gia and Lucy sort of, like, debate on telling her, because they don't want to put that burden on her and how much they tell her. But it's like, it's necessary. They have to stop her.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to make sure she stays on the path she's supposed to stay on. So Christopher agrees. She goes in, she's talking to her mother. And while she's talking to her mother, and her essentially having it out. The second sleeper shows up, rolls up to the house, is getting ready to kill Agent Christopher, and she and her mother keep moving around, and he's having a hard time getting a sight on her, so he finally gets out of the car, gets out in the middle of the street, points the gun at the house as they're fighting, and her mother slaps her and then leaves her out on the back porch and goes inside, and Agent Christopher is there, she's exposed, and the guy's getting ready to fire, and then up rolls a speeding station wagon and just knocks him to the ground.
What I liked about it was you were switching between the past and the present. Past and the present of, you know, her seeing her family now, her talking with her mother. You're seeing this back and forth, like, is she gonna die? Any second, she could die at this moment.
Right. And what's really cool is they cut back to the present where she's arriving home. She sees her family. They have pizza together. They're playing Jenga together. They're having this really happy moment. And it's, if it were to happen now, she got to see her family. Or they got to be together one more time. So there's a closure there with it. But, you know, you're cutting back to the past and you're seeing the guy, you know, prepare the gun. He gets out of the car. He's ready to shoot her. And you're sitting there. You're like, guys, problem. And of course, Wyatt and Rufus have it by running over the dude with the station wagon.
Mm-hmm. It was great dramatic television.
It was wonderful storytelling. It was absolutely wonderful storytelling. And so Agent Christopher is saved, and she's like, well, what do I do now? Because, you know, obviously her mother and her have had it out. Her mother is very upset, and I think it's sort of implied that her mother maybe kicked her out or disowned her or something, and because she's like, well, I don't know what to do. What am I going to do? And they look at her and say, you're going to join the FBI, and then you're going to join Homeland Security. And she's like, well, what's Homeland Security? It's too complicated, but you're going to join it. You're going to be the top in your field. You're going to be the best. Just have faith. And they leave her the USB stick. And she's like, and they go, you know, whenever you have doubts or whenever you don't think you can go on, do it for this. And it's the USB stick. Do it for your family that you're going to have. Which was really, really touching.
Mm-hmm.
So we all go back to the hospital, or the boys go back to the hospital, and to free the sleeper because they had agreed we're going to let him go. And they come back and the sleeper's dead.
Oh, no. And Rufus is like, we weren't going to kill you. We were going to let you go. We were going to let you go.
But the question is, did the sleeper kill himself or did somebody else kill him?
It's a good question.
Because we did not see Emma or Nicholas in this episode.
No.
And we have not seen Lucy's mother since the Rittenhouse headquarters got taken down. So I'm kind of wondering where she got to.
Up to no good.
Who knows? So basically the natural order is restored. Everybody's happy, but it leaves Rufus in a really weird, awkward place, and they come back, and they're looking around, and they're like, oh my god, did we succeed? Did she do it? Because it's like they come back, and everything's the same, so they're like, okay. It went ahead to a point, and then Agent Christopher walks up, and she's smiling at them, and she's like, I've waited 37 years to say thank you.
It was very touching.
It was really sweet. And then she looks at Gia and Lucy, and she's like, really? Cagney and Lacey? Really? And I'm like, what? What?
It's a thing. What do you want?
It's a thing. And so she thanks them, and she's like, couldn't have done it without you type moment. And they have a really sweet moment. And then she gives the thumb drive back to Lucy, and she's like, I think you need to hold on to it.
Which could play a factor somewhere.
Yes. Could play a factor somewhere.
But now, the final few moments.
Now the awkwardness. So we cut to Rufus and Gia, and Rufus basically comes clean with Gia, where he's like, I don't want us to spend what's left apart. I want to spend every waking moment with you. I want to find a way to stop this. He's like, I don't want to be some unnamed, unknown John Doe left in the 1800s, nobody knows, completely forgotten. I don't want that. He's like, so let's... You know, it's like, I want to grow old with you. I want to argue about what shows we're going to binge watch. I want to spend whatever time I have left with you. And Gia's like, it's not set in stone. History's not set in stone. We can fix it. We can potentially stop it.
Together.
Together. And so they resolve to stop it together. And it's a really nice moment where they finally come together over this and resolve to fight it. And then there's the other togetherness, where Lucy walks into Garcia's room, and he's like, well, just, you know, not knock or anything, just burst right in. And Lucy's like...
Bang, bang, bangity-bang. No.
No, she didn't bang, bang, bangity-bang. She just walked in. Lucy's like, so about the journal. You said I gave it to you. How did I give it to you?
He's like, you really don't want to know.
And she's like, yes, I do. I really want to know, so tell me. And he's like, fine. And to set up the scene, it's 3 weeks after his family has died. He's resolved to kill Rittenhouse to avenge his family. He's run away. He's in this bar in San Paulo, Brazil. And in walks Lucy, but it's not current Lucy, it's Lucy who's about 5 years older.
She still looks good.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, no, he's like, you look good. You looked really good.
I mean, that was a boast of self-confidence. You grow old very well.
Well, it's only 5 years older, so she wouldn't look terribly different, but he's like, you look really good. She's kind of like, okay, thanks.
Cool. Bang, 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 bang later. Anyway.
Anyway, so he's like, you gave me the journal, and you told me to read the journal, and I did. So there's that huge revelation there that Lucy gives Garcia the journal and sets all of this in motion, which we knew, but it's implied that Lucy, 4 or 5 years in the future, comes back to this time to set all of this in motion.
But why?
Why? That's the question. So I thought that was really cool, and I had a horrific thought about how that's probably how the show's gonna end, but I don't want to think about that. Then we cut to the other awkwardness with Jessica and Wyatt, and they're talking. They're having a nice moment, and she's looking at social media on her phone, and he's like, and she's actually looking at Instagram in case anybody's curious. And he's like, well, who is that? And she's like, oh, that's my brother. And Wyatt's like, can't be. She's like, what do you mean can't be? He's like, your brother had leukemia. And she's like, yeah. And he's like, in my timeline, he died when he was 3. And Jessica's like, no. You know, he got a revolutionary treatment for stem cell.
She wasn't quite sure,
but it was stem cell, she thinks. And he lived. And Wyatt's like, how'd you get the money for that? And she doesn't really answer him.
No, she throws something else out there.
She dodges the question, and she goes, I'm pregnant.
What?
So there's some bang, bang, bangity, bang right there.
They were bang, bang, bangity, bang. A lot of bang, bang, bangity, bang.
I'm calling my shot right now. She's Rittenhouse. She's gotta be. Probably wrong, but she's gotta be.
It's quite possibly.
Because again, they took several unknown trips to do things in time, and we assume all of them were to set up the sleepers. What if Jessica is a sleeper, waiting to be activated, to implode the team? Just a hunch. Could be right, could be wrong. I don't know, but I'm very sad I have to wait a week to potentially get the answers, and I may not get them! And we're 2 episodes out from the end of the season! This is not okay! I need more! More, damn it, season 3.
Save the show.
Save the show. Renew Timeless. Hashtag Renew Timeless. Hashtag Save Timeless. Come on, y'all, let's get on this. Need to save this show because Mama needs a season 3. So, any thoughts on it?
I'm with you. I'm wondering if she's really pregnant, or was this a ruse to sort of, I don't know, to sort of divert his attention, like, yeah, this all happened, but you know what? I'm pregnant. I don't think she's pregnant.
I don't think she's, well, she could be.
She could be, but I don't know. Something's weird. Something's going on.
The way that she made that face and the way that she reacted, yeah, it's like something's definitely going on. Somebody's not who they're claiming to be. It could be Lucy. It could be Garcia. Could be Wyatt, could be Jessica, could be Connor, could be Doubt Agent Christopher. She's too straight arrow for that.
There's a major twist coming on the show. I don't know what it is.
Something's coming.
Something is coming in the final 2 episodes.
And we're probably going to freak out about it.
That's a guarantee.
But I think that does it for episode 8. What do you think?
Make sure you follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Rock Radio Show, at Wild Talk Radio on the Twitters, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Check out The Rock Extra Reviews, The Royals. Check out The Rock every Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, live at RockRadioShow.com and WildTalkRadio.com.
You can follow me on Twitter, at LinsWard, LinsWRD. Go to my website, psychboarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at Behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitters. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rock Extra Reviews, Timeless Edition, right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be back next week, freaking out probably about episode 9. Till then, bye!